Let's pray this morning. God, we give you thanks. You are here. You're everywhere. For this, we're grateful. And we pray that today you would come and have your way in each one of us. We thank you that you are a good father, that you sent your son for each one of us to die and rise again, to give us new life and forgiveness of sins and an understanding of the purpose for which you created each one of us. And we thank you that you share with us your spirit. And we invite you now, Holy Spirit, to come and to work in us and to transform us that we might become more like Jesus. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. There we go. Happy Father's Day to dads and those who have fathered us along the way. I hope it is a restful day or a fun day or whatever you want it to be. So it's your day. Happy Father's Day. We are in a teaching series on the Holy Spirit. We've called it Catching Fire. Have you been catching fire at all in your life? Sparking, I love it. Sparking is better than non-sparking. Yes. Good. I hope in this season of summertime, I love summer because everybody kind of gets a chance to rest and play at the same time. But church season, we tend to just kind of, we're here, we're there. And so catching fire, it's a great time of year to catch fire. And that's the purpose here. So let's take a look at Romans 8. We'll pick up where we left off last week at verse 5, and we'll read it together with some chutzpah. Here we go. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Awesome. Want to encourage you as we make our way throughout this teaching series to use your Revolution app, the teaching notes icon. We'll have a few links for you over the course of the series that might help you in your own reading. You know, as I read this passage, I thought a lot about bodies. Got to be careful. Got to qualify that. But bodies, flesh, tissue, muscle, bone, this kind of thing. Have you ever thought about how much of our life we spend taking care of this thing? You got to feed it. You got to rest it. According to the doctors, you're supposed to sleep 8 hours a night. How's everybody doing with that? I mean, if you're an infant, I guess it's like 14 to 16 hours a night that you're supposed to sleep. So basically, if you're an adult between the ages of 26 and 64 years old, a third of your time is supposed to be spent resting this thing. Now, if I am a CEO of a Fortune 250 company, I'm pretty mad about the utilization of that. I mean, you got to eat, you got to rest, you got to exercise it, because if you don't exercise it, I mean, you're in trouble there. We spend a whole lot of time on these bodies that we have. It's incredible. Because you have to have it. You're like, well, duh. I mean, you probably don't give much thought of it, but a body is so integral to all of life. It's what helps us connect, relate, experience, have relationship. Without it, we're in trouble. You're like, where's this going today? You know, in the ancient world, the Greeks and the Romans knew that the body was an important part of life, but they said it was a prison for the soul. He said bodies were very much necessary, but bodies were a prison house for the soul. And the soul is the, think of it as the non-material, non-physical part of who we are. It's our mind, our will, our emotions, our memory, the spiritual part of us that relates to God, or in their case, the gods, because they had lots of them. Important. Body's important, but prison house for the soul. Soul was the good part of who we are. It's the soul that sought the gods. It was the soul that, you know, we knew what the right thing was, but our bodies, these darn things just got in the way. Our flesh wanted one thing. We saw something and had to have it. Kind of like a Milky Way, the king size version, because the other is a complete waste of time. Yeah, something resonated there. So the body was a prison house for the soul. The body sought the earthly pleasures. The soul sought the good stuff. And this creates some issues. I mean, even for us today, you look at a lot of the way that worship music is written, you listen to a lot of preachers, and you'll hear this bad body, good soul sort of dichotomy. I mean, one of my favorite songs, I'll Fly Away. It's really bad theology, to tell you the truth. Sorry, I just wrecked it for everyone. On that glad morning when I fly away, soul's great, body, oh, thank goodness, I'm going to be shed of this thing. Now, I get the point. The point was, you know, this is coming out of a group of African-American people who have been enslaved. And you know what? That was going to be a happy day, a happy release. Yeah. But bad body, good soul, so often that's what we hear. Is that really the case? See, the Bible has a very different way of looking at it. They say that the Bible tells us, the scriptures teach us that both the body and the soul are good. Is the body corruptible? You bet. How do I know this? Go to BW3's on Wings Night. And you know, like, 8 is appropriate. 16, you have seriously maxed out the angioplasty curve. I mean, not a good idea. Right? Yeah, but the body and the soul are both good. The body isn't evil because God created bodies. In fact, the psalmist says, "My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, the Son of God, is given a body to experience life." If bodies were so bad, then why would the Son of God become flesh and blood? Why would that flesh and blood be nailed to a cross? And after he dies, why would that flesh and blood be raised to new and everlasting life in a body for all of eternity if bodies are bad? So bodies are good, souls are good. In fact, the rabbis used to say that souls were from heaven, bodies were from earth, and you couldn't have one without the other. It was very much like a bridge. In fact, they used to tell a parable, and the parable went like this. There was a wise king who handed out beautiful robes to all of his subjects or people. And the wise king said, now take good care of this. And so the wise people decided what they were going to do was care for these beautiful robes and make sure that they didn't have stain or blemish. And the foolish people, of course, didn't take care of them, and they were tattered and ripped and what have you. And so one day the king called them all unexpectedly, and there came the wise with their beautiful robes, and he said, wonderful job. Now enter into the home which I have prepared you in peace. And the foolish, of course, handed them over, tattered and ripped and a complete mess, and they were imprisoned. What's the point? Take care of what God has given you or what the king has given you. Scripture says this to us. Do you not know that your body is a temple? Say that word with me, temple. You think a temple's important? Oh, yeah. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore, honor God with your body. Got to take care of this thing. Sometimes easier said than done, yes? Especially when you stop at Thornton's and you eat the big chocolate chip cookie and anyway. Now, last week, we learned that we're in a tug of war between us and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit longs for us to live in accordance with the way God desires. The Holy Spirit longs for us to become the people that God has created us to be. The problem is sometimes we're in a tug of war with the Spirit over the person we wish nobody knew existed that we can sometimes be. Yes? Yes. There's a tug of war happening. And we also said that if you want the Holy Spirit to stop working on you and begin working in you, you needed to do one simple thing. You needed to let go of the rope. You need to let him win. So the question is this: if there is a tug of war going on, and if the Spirit longs to be at work in us, how then do we participate in that work? See, God doesn't want to just work on us. God longs to work in us, soul, body, all of who we are, all of who God created us to be, and that's what we're going to be working on here today. Now, the rabbis said that we were born, this is the key word, born, with two impulses, a good impulse and an evil impulse. Anybody ever experienced both of those? There we go. I was like, oh, man, you've been reading my mail. Yeah. Yeah, good impulse and evil impulse. Our tendency is to think of the good impulse as coming from the non-material, non-physical part of us, the soul. Oh, the soul's good. And the body, that's where the bad impulse comes from. That says, oh man, I'm running into Thornton's right now, and it would be great to have one of these chocolate chip cookies that are worth like 8 trillion calories. There we go. Chocolate for Father's Day? I can't eat it. That's the bummer right now. So see, I'm being transformed from one likeness to another. But it does sound good. You know, because we are born with both, we end up in this tug of war, like I talked about, between who we can be versus who God desires us to be. And part of this very much resonates with what Jesus has to say to us. In fact, Jesus says that we should think on heavenly things and not on earthly things. And this also very much mirrors what Paul says to us this morning. He says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So there's a good impulse, there's an evil impulse. And much like we learned last week, there is a tug of war that's happening within us between body and soul. How do we then begin to understand the battleground for our life? Well, read on. It says, the mind of the sinful person is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. What's the key word here? Mind. Mind. See, the battleground is here. Mind being part of the soul. The battleground is in your mind. You want to know what prevents the Holy Spirit from doing more work in you? This. It's right here. And it is a tough battle because there is a connection between what we believe and how we behave. There's a connection between what we believe and how we behave. You're like, well, yeah, trust me. When you begin to believe something, you begin to behave as if it's true. Now, that doesn't mean that you do it 100% of the time. And the more that you believe it, the more that you'll behave in that way. Everything is controlled by the mind. If you think and live in a healthy way, more often than not, you'll become healthy. Paul says if our mind is controlled by the Spirit, it's life and peace, it's energy, vitality, holiness, security, the kind of life that God desires us to have. But if the mind is controlled by sin, by the evil impulse, by the wrong person at the end of the tug of war match, we become hostile and angry towards God. You're like, well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I've ever experienced that hostility or anger towards God because I believe the wrong thing. Really? Here's how that works. You say your prayers at night, because I know you do every night. God, I would really like you to do whatever it is. And you believe that God, because he's a good, good father, which he is, You believe that God is going to grant you what your will is, what your desire is. And if God doesn't grant it, if I don't get my way, what's the behavior? I'm mad. I'm mad at God. How could you do this? Don't you know what you did for such and such a person? And she's like less than half of a Christian than I am. You've thought it. Guarantee you've thought it. We're getting real up in here this morning. You've thought it. I guarantee you have. That doesn't make you evil. I'm just saying you did this for this dude. Really? Like, have you ever, God, do you really know this person? See, if the belief is, God, you're going to grant my every single wish or request, and God doesn't do it, your belief begins to impact your behavior. And so you're mad, and you begin to get hostile with God. Well, God doesn't really love me, or you know, blah, 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 or whatever it is. Well, you didn't have the right belief in the right in the first place anyway. God isn't the benevolent grandfather. He doesn't always take us to the store for ice cream. This isn't how it works. And so we begin to enter into a war with God because of what God missed doing for me, what God should have done for me because he did for somebody else. And it's no different than the story we always point back to in Genesis chapter 3, where the man and the woman decided, if we were the management, if our will were imposed upon all of creation, this world would be a better place. And so they saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye and good for food, and they said, bag it, God, I'm doing it my way. And what enters into the situation? Sin and death. And isn't that hostility towards God? See, the Spirit works on us to be at work in us, to be at work through us. If you want the Spirit to begin to move in, you've got to drop the rope. But the beginning, when the Spirit moves in you, there's a new tug of war. And you got to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to win the battles in your mind. The battleground shifts. The on to in is huge because you begin to relinquish control, and then it just gets harder. When the Spirit comes and lives in you, when you become a Christian, somewhere along the way we made conversion the end of the journey. It's not. It's the beginning. And that's when it gets hard. And that's why most folks who are Christians, especially in these United States of America, they go down, they pray the prayer on Sunday morning, and they think that's the end of it. Jack, that's just the beginning. It just got hard. Because now there's a new battle. And the battleground isn't just like, well, you know. It's happening within you. When the Spirit moves in, yes, we're given forgiveness of sins. Yes, we're given eternal life. Yes, we're given restored relationship with God and spiritual gifts. We begin to understand the purpose for which we're created. But while those things are deposited within us, what brews is a new battle. Are we going to do it God's way, or are we going to do it our way? Listen to what Paul says. He says, you, however, are not controlled, or you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The mind is the battleground. And the Spirit longs to reshape our minds towards living for this good impulse, for this holiness that God calls us to live into. And our bodies fight back. You don't believe me? Try to lose weight. Right? I mean, it happens every January 1. Like December 28th through the 31st, you've eaten terribly. Let me rephrase that. I eat terribly. I mean, brutal. I do things to this body that are just holy smokes. And I get to January 1 and I go, Ebel, you got to get it together. And what happens? The mind goes, here we go. And the body goes, no, you don't. Or try to kick a habit. Try to kick a habit. Because your mind says, this isn't good for me. I know I shouldn't do this. I know that I need something else. I know that God desires more for me. And your body goes, no, 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 no. Or, you know, maybe sports works for you. Maybe you realize there's something wrong in the way that you shoot free throws, and so you've got to change your mechanics. Your mind might want it, but your body doesn't always participate. Same with your golf swing. Your mind wants something, and yet your body isn't able to do it. The Special Forces of the United States of America spends tons and tons of time breaking down people's bodies to help them realize in their mind they can go further than they ever thought possible. Ranger Vance, how long was Ranger school? 16 weeks of having your body brutalized for your mind to realize you can go farther than you ever thought possible. So when that moment comes, right, Lieutenant Colonel?
Yes, sir.
You can go further than you ever thought possible. Because the mind and the body are in a war. And the ancient world struggled with the body because the body wanted one thing and the soul, or the mind, will, and emotions, wanted something else. And the Hebrews said, man, they're both from God, and the goal is to get them to work together. How do they work together? God places his spirit in each one of us. Let me invite our worship team to come on back forward. God places his spirit in each one of us so that what God has given us, body and soul, would both live for him. So we wouldn't say, well, you know, what's important is just kind of the spiritual part of who I am. So I'm going to like do this church thing on Sunday morning, and then when I go out on Monday, it's all good. Whatever I do in the body really doesn't matter. No. Because what we believe affects how we behave. And what we do in these bodies really does matter. God's good. All the time. The reason he's good is he loves us the way that we are. He says, come. Come, you're mine. Come, respond. Listen to the Spirit's call. And then when we do, he says, you know what? I love you the way that you are, but I love you way too much to leave you the way that you were. I have something better for you. Allow my Spirit to come and work in you and change you to be all you've created, been created to be. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you realize we couldn't do this life without you, and so you shared your spirit with each one of us. And so we invite you this morning, we beg that you would come and fill each one of us, that you would have your way in us, that you would help our minds submit, to relent, to give up, to drop the rope, and let you be at work. Renew us, transform us, heal us, that we might become the people you have created us to be. We thank you that your love is so great, that this was in your divine plan all along. And God, we pray that you would bend our minds, our wills, our emotions to seek what you desire. We praise you, we thank you, and we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Now please have a seat. You know, God's desire has always been to live and work in us. I mean, this is what the whole Bible is really all about. Starts in the beginning. God creates the heavens and the earth. Spirit is hovering over the face of the waters. What's the next thing that God does? Well, God creates human beings, flesh and bone, and breathes in them the breath of life. The goal is for God to live inside of people. And the people would say, we'll be the management. We'll discern what's good and what's not. And so the people say, God, we're going to eat this fruit. And you're like, it's fruit. What's the big deal? There was one rule. I would have loved that. I would have screwed it up too, I can guarantee you. And so the spirit departs. Well, spirit doesn't, the breath doesn't leave people. Sure it does. It's called death. And so what does the spirit do? That God figures out, how do I get back with these people? And so spirit appears in a burning bush to a guy named Moses. And then the spirit comes in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to lead the people throughout the desert. And at the same time, the spirit lives in this tent. And that's kind of a bummer, because while God gave the plans for a tent, it's not like the tent was the Taj Mahal. But God wanted to be among the people. And so then they built a temple, and God came and filled the temple. And then, because the people said, we'd rather be the management, the spirit departed from the temple. And so who shows up? The Son of God becomes flesh and blood, just like each one of us. And one of the very first things that the spirit does is comes and fills Jesus to do the ministry that he's been called to do, because the spirit's always desired to live in each one of us. And when he dies upon the cross, just like we do, and his spirit departs, the same spirit raises him from the dead. And 50 days later, that same spirit comes to fill each one of us, because God wants to come and live in each one of us. That's always been the goal. That will always be the goal. God doesn't want to just work on us. God desires to work in us and through us. These amazing bodies that God has given us, this flesh, these tissues, these muscles and bones and organs, God longs to fill every single part of us. How do we participate? How do we yield? Well, we got to change our minds and give our bodies back to God. That's hard. I mean, that's the tug of war. God, it would be a whole lot easier. It would be a whole lot more popular if I did X. But I realize this is what you want. So, okay. God, I realize that my body could be located in a lot of different places, doing a lot of different things, but I realize that your desire is this. So, okay. I mean, this is what Paul tells us today. And he says this elsewhere. He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do we participate in that work? We got to give our minds and our bodies back to God. Well, how do we, like, that sounds great. I mean, this is kind of high-minded stuff. How do we do that practically? That's a good pun. Well, we have to pray. Now, the hard part is we kind of make prayer the end of it. Well, just pray and read your Bible. That's like the two answers you can't ever fail at in church. Right? God, Bible, and pray. If you say one of those three, I mean, you're in. Sure, you got to pray, but repentance and faith are important. I mean, coming to the realization that there are certain parts of our lives, and we're not condemned for it. Right? We learned last week, if we're in Christ, we're not condemned. But there are parts of our lives that require a change. And faith is required because we need God's help to do it. We need accountability. I mean, Protestant brothers and sisters, this is where we get this wrong. Our thing is, well, I don't need to talk to some priest to be forgiven. You're absolutely right. Jesus is the one who forgives. Might as well talk to him. But I'll tell you what, to be accountable to another human being makes it real. And sometimes you need people to say, dude, you're going to walk off a cliff. Stop. Or, lady, your behavior killing me. What's going on? Spiritual direction. Another great guide. What's spiritual direction? Well, maybe you meet with a mentor. Maybe you're part of a small group. People who've walked further than you have or for longer than you have. That's a great thing to have. Counseling. Counseling is good. Counseling is really good. Because we've all got baggage. Your pastor goes to counseling. Because I've got stuff. And you know what? I can either choose to deal with it or I can try to stuff it in a closet and pretend it doesn't exist. And you know what? The second doesn't work. You want to know how I know? Because I've tried. And it doesn't work. So you can go deal with it or not. And finally, study. I mean, read some books, read the scriptures, talk with other people. You know, the deal is, I want you to think about this for a minute. If you have learned patterns of destructive thinking and behaving in your life over a period of time, does it not stand to reason that the Holy Spirit is going to work over a period of time to help you develop new ways of thinking and living? And yet the way that the church has tended to take care of this is say, well, you just need to pray harder. No, you don't. You need to pray, and then you need to deal with it. I mean, can God do something in one fell swoop? Absolutely. He's God. But more often than not, what you see is people begin to deal with their stuff, and over a process of time, the Holy Spirit begins to work, change the way we think, and change the way we live, and set people free. This is why we do Celebrate Recovery. Please stop saying it's a drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. It's more than that. It's a, if you have a problem, you come here and you talk about it with other people who are willing to own up and face the fact that they have problems too.
It's more than what?
It's more than just drugs and alcohol. Oh yeah. I mean, it's a problem for every walk of life. And the beautiful part about it is you see the process by which you start and say, I have this problem and it's completely unmanageable. And on the other side of it, you say, I see that I know other people who have problems that are completely unmanageable. And now God has transformed me to go help them. This is why we do it. I got a little preachy this morning. Sorry, I'm excited. I mean, if God really longs to work in each one of us, if this has been God's desire from the very beginning, it requires a change in our mind and a change with our bodies. And the only way it happens is we say, God, that, you know, I've tried. Like, F minus here. I'm failing. Help. And put me in touch with other people and put me in touch with resources and begin something new in my life and begin this deeper work in me. Because I know that you love me the way that I am. Thanks be to God for that. But you just love me too much to leave me the way that I was. And then let's see what he'll do. Holy Spirit longs to work in each one of you. And my hope for you today is this, that you will simply begin to let him and partner with him and watch God do something miraculous in your life. Let's pray. God, you are so good. You can change each one of us. And you long to do that work in each one of us. And God, we feel the tug of war sometimes between our mind and our bodies, between what was and what can be. Help us let go of the rope. Help us to join you in the work of transformation by giving you our mind, by giving you these bodies, by submitting to a process of change, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or counseling or accountability or deeper study. God, each one of us, I imagine if we are honest with ourselves and with you, we've got something in our lives, in our minds, that we wish were not there. This does not make us evil. This makes us available for you to work. And so, God, today, help us yield. Come and start something new in us. And may you be glorified over the process of time by which you change us from one glory to another. We make this prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Looking forward to next week. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit working through us. He works on and in and through. I hope you have a great week. Get out of the way and make sure you get some cupcakes in honor of our 7th birthday in the back. Awesome. Have a great week.